You are what you think about all day long. This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. I know I always begin my Monday show that way, because Mondays bring special challenges, whether it's work, school, or just more activity, doctors, bank, whatever it may be. Mondays are particularly challenging. That's why all this year, on Monday, I'm spending the programs talking about how to handle worry. If you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die young. So let's begin the prayer, okay? Come, Holy Spirit, replace the tension within us with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within us with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within us with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within us with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within us with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within us with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within us with a loving warmth. Replace the night within us with your day. Replace the winter within us with your spring. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead. You can ask the question, is it possible to stop worrying? Well, the answer is yes, although at times that sounds unbelievable. But let me put it to you this way. Why would Jesus tell us to stop worrying if it wasn't possible? You remember, he has told us, don't worry. Go to Matthew's Gospel. The passage from the lilies of the field and the birds of the air says very emphatically, stop worrying about things. What are we going to eat? What do we drink? What are we going to use for clothing? Stop worrying. So it must be possible. Easy? Did I say it was easy? No, it's very challenging. But when it comes to worrying, you got to remember the following. Worry never climbed a hill, paid a bill, calmed the fear, dried a tear, led a horse to water, or did a thing you think it oughta. That's a poem written by somebody. But it's all true, isn't it? So, let's do it again today. Let's examine another person's way of handling worry. Another person who had a gigantic situation that would have caused anybody to worry, right? Here's a dramatic story told by Robert Moore. He writes, I learned the biggest lesson of my life in March 1945. I learned that under 276 feet of water off the coast of Indochina, I was one of 88 men aboard the submarine Baya SS-318. We had discovered by radar that a small Japanese convoy was coming our way. As daybreak approached, we submerged to attack. I saw through the periscope a Japanese destroyer escort, a tanker, and a mine layer. We fired three torpedoes at the destroyer escort, but missed. Something went haywire in the mechanics of each torpedo. The destroyer, not knowing that she had been attacked, continued on. We were getting ready to attack the last ship, the mine layer, when suddenly she turned and came directly at us. You see, a Japanese plane had spotted us under 60 feet of water and had radioed our position to the Japanese mine layer. We went down to 150 feet to avoid detection and rigged for a depth charge. We put extra bolts on the hatches, and in order to make our sub absolutely silent, we turned off the fans, the cooling system, and all electrical gear. 3 minutes later, all hell broke loose. Six depth charges exploded all around us and pushed us down to the ocean floor, a depth of 276 feet. We were terrified to be attacked in less than 1,000 feet of water, which is very dangerous. Less than 500 is almost always fatal. And we were being attacked in a trifle more than half of 500 feet of water, just about knee-deep as far as safety was concerned. For 15 hours, that Japanese mine layer kept dropping depth charges. If a depth charge explodes within 17 feet of a sub, the concussion will blow a hole in it. Scores of these depth charges explode within 50 feet of us. We are ordered to secure, to lie quietly in our bunks and remain calm. I was so terrified I could hardly breathe. This is death. I kept saying to myself over and over, this is death, this is death. With the fans and cooling system turned off, the air inside the sub was over 100 degrees. But I was so chilled with fear that I put on a sweater and a fur-lined jacket, and still I trembled with cold. My teeth chattered. I broke out in a cold, clammy sweat. The attack continued for 15 hours, then ceased suddenly. Apparently, the Japanese mine layer had exhausted its supply of depth charges and steamed away. Those 15 hours of attack seemed like 15 million years. All my life passed before me in review. I remembered all the bad things I had done, all the little absurd things I had worried about. I had been a bank clerk before I joined the Navy. I had worried about the long hours, the poor pay, the poor prospects of advancement. I had worried because I couldn't own my own home, couldn't buy a new car, couldn't buy my wife nice clothes. How I hated my old boss, who was always nagging and scolding. I remember how I would come home at night sore and grouchy and quarrel with my wife over trifles. I had worried about a scar on my forehead, a nasty cut from an auto accident. How big all those worries seemed years ago, but how absurd they seemed when depth charges were threatening to blow me to kingdom come. I promised myself then and there that if I ever saw the sun and stars again, I would never, never worry again. Never, never, never. I learned more about the art of living in those 15 terrible hours in that submarine than I had learned by studying books for 4 years in Syracuse University. End of story. Isn't that a powerful story, folks? Doesn't that just say how things need to be put into perspective? You see, we often face the major disasters of life bravely and then let the trifles, the pains in the neck, get us down. For example, Samuel Pepys tells in his diary about seeing Sir Harry Vane's head chopped off in London. As Sir Harry mounted the platform, he was not pleading for his life, but was pleading with the executioner not to hit the painful boy on his neck. That was another thing that Admiral Byrd discovered down in the terrible cold and darkness of the polar nights, that his men fussed more about the pains in the neck than about the big things. They bore without complaining the dangers, the hardships, and the cold that was often 80 degrees below zero. But, says Admiral Byrd, quote, I know of bunkmates who quit speaking because each one suspected the other of inching his gear into the other's allotted space. And I knew of one who could not eat unless he could find a place in the mess hall out of sight of Fletcherist, who solemnly chewed his food 28 times before swallowing. In a polar camp, says Admiral Byrd, little things like that have the power to drive even disciplined men to the edge of sanity. And you know that, don't you? It's the little things in life that really irritate us. It's the little things that become the big things. It's the proverbial, you know, what do we say? It's the tip of the iceberg. When people explode, they often explode over something quite trivial, but it's been building, building, and building. And that's the way it is with worry. Remember, you are what you think about all day long. And it is crucial, absolutely crucial, that today, on this Monday, you decide not to let worry control your life. If you spend most of this day worrying, guess what you have become? You have become a chronic worrier. Chronic. It means constant. It's there all the time. And most of the things we worry about don't happen. And if they do happen, if we've been worrying about them before they happen, look at the energy that consumes so we don't have that energy now to deal with the situation. It's all a matter of perspective, right? And most of the things that will irritate you today, that will frustrate you today, will be small things. Maybe something big will happen and you watch. On hindsight, you'll notice that you were able to mobilize all your energies to deal with the big things. But the little irritable things, the tone of voice of somebody, the car in front of you going too slow, the person on the telephone, the slowness of the elevator, All those things just make for a person to be very, very exasperated, upset, and the worry. What if? We do the what ifs. What if I'm not on time? What if this person doesn't show up? What if I don't get the business deal accomplished? What if my wife? What if my kids? What if my car? What if? What if? What if? What if the lights go off? What if there's not enough air conditioning? And I, hopefully, as I'm going through that list, maybe you're starting to smile a little bit, because the fact of the matter is, that's how human life is. But, you know, Jesus said, stop worrying. It's a great advice. Okay. Here's today's food for thought. Kindness in women, not their beauteous looks, shall win my love. You know who said that? William Shakespeare. You know that looks are only skin deep. If you're in a relationship only based on looks, that relationship is not going to last very long, because beauty and handsomeness comes and goes. But kindness and gentleness and compassion and forgiveness, those are the building blocks of a good marriage. Okay, you know who I want you to pray for today? I would like you to please pray for policemen. Policemen who keep us safe. Policemen who keep traffic from being in chaos. Policemen who are helpful when people really, really need help. Sometimes their jobs are very serious. Sometimes their jobs are very dangerous. Sometimes they themselves struggle with their own human frailty. Sometimes they can, give in to their dark sides. Dear God, please pray with me. Dear God, bless the policemen and policewomen who serve us. Keep them safe from harm. Give them energy. Help them realize that you are always with them. Do not let them be overwhelmed by the dark side of human nature that they have to deal with, especially domestic violence. I call down a very special blessing on those who serve as policemen and policewomen in our society. Amen. All right, here's today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. This was from Reader's Digest in the section called Dumb and Dumber. True story. For our honeymoon, my fiancé and I chose a fashionable hotel known for its luxurious suites. When I called to make reservations, the desk clerk inquired, "Is this for a special occasion?" "Yes," I replied, "it's our honeymoon." "And how many adults will there be?" she asked. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? I'd love to hear from my listeners. Send me your prayer intentions. I will faithfully take them to prayer. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. If you can give me a gift to help me keep my hospital for the very poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, make the check. I don't care what the amount. It comes with love, I'm sure. Make it to T. Thomas, like T. T-A-S-H, the Annecy Tower Hospital, Tash, Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Don't forget to visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.